Hi everyone, thank you so much for attending today at this presentation at the Software Composition Analysis Dev Room in FOSDEM. It is an honor to be here and I really hope you learn from this talk and we discuss together all the insights we might find during this presentation. So saying this, my name is Ana Jimenez. I'm the program manager at Tutu Group, that is an open group of organizations that have been running OSPUS worldwide for a bunch of years now. And today's topic is about how OSPUS can help secure the software supply chain and briefly share some learnings from the Tutu Group. This is the agenda we will be following today. I think we need some context for those people that doesn't know what is an OSPU. So I will first introduce the OSPU and why having an OSPU space. So to explain this, I also like to talk about the innovation race. As many of you know here, software is the ultimate source of innovation. And the 80% of modern application has open source components. That means that digital transformation is forcing all organizations to be open source forward. So we are no longer talking about the innovation race. We are talking about an open source race because it's an open source race. An open source is a community of community with a lot of different ways to do things from the traditional environment. Organizations face challenges, new challenges, such as new ways to do policies, new tooling to use, big cultural change, new standards, new infrastructure, and ways to analyze software components. So some organizations, what they have been doing is try to pull all these challenges and activities together into a single strategic place and build a strategy on top of all these activities. That is what an OSPU is. OSPU comes from Open Source Program Office, and I'd like to call OSPUs the open source accelerators for organizations and act as a linchpin between the organization and open source ecosystem. But how critical are getting OSPUs? Is just a buzzword or is a well-known term that are already being implemented by organizations? So in order to explain better this, I also like to share with you the OSPU survey results conducted by the Tutu Group. Here are some of the insights you can find in this survey. The link is right below. We are also seeing the two main responsibilities of most of the open source program offices created at this moment are related with fostering an open source culture within an organization and maintaining open source license compliance reviews and oversights. These two responsibilities are linked to an early stage OSPU that at the very beginning needs to assure they have a secure environment to start building their community. If you're still asking about how many OSPUs are out there, well, at Tutu Group, we have a landscape that shows all the public OSPUs, but you need to take into account the work in progress OSPUs. Those are no official OSPUs, maybe organizations that just started an OSPU and they don't feel confident enough to say, hey, we have an OSPU. If you take a look to the landscape, we can see these OSPUs are not just software companies and not just private organizations. We are seeing OSPUs popping up everywhere. We are seeing OSPUs in education, in governments, in tech, retail, in banking, or even in automotive. One fun fact I discovered last year was that the European Commission is building an OSPU. More examples of other organizations building an OSPU. Ports launched their OSPU, the European Commission, and Goldman Sachs in the finance sector. Okay, so now that we have seen what is an OSPU and how far are OSPUs getting, It's now time to move to the OSPO subfunctions. OSPO functions or responsibilities can be divided into three main pillars: legal risk mitigation, improving engineering's practices, and enable financial benefits. You can check all these three pillars in the OSPO guide, and there you can take a deeper look for each of these responsibilities. In today's presentation, I'm just gonna get the main focus for legal risk mitigations now that we are at the software composition analysis dev room. So as I was saying, OSPOs often oversee aspects of a company open source license compliance. So for instance, companies that usually distribute software are normally the most concerned about this kind of activities and tries to reduce this legal risk through maintaining open source license compliance reviews and oversights, running reviews process for inbound code use, and ensuring that the company contributes back to open source projects in an effective way. So saying this, it's not strange to see OSPO getting involved in the software composition analysis ecosystems and try to nurture this ecosystem, since it can benefit also them for their OSPO activities. And how are they doing that? Well, I see two main ways OSPO can help this ecosystem. The first one is using existing SCA tools and trying to contribute to their sustainability since they are depending on them. And the other one is building SCA tooling and releasing them as open source projects. So it is not only about consuming and using. OSPOs are also creating their own systems and they are opening them. They are open sourcing them to help the open source ecosystem. A third way, OSPOs can expand this tooling documentation through public guides. So one example is Yahoo has the open source guide that has a lot of topics there. One of them is licensing, and they share some useful tooling they're used in their open source program office to deal with open source compliance. Also in the tutor group, we have a repo called Awesome Open Source Software Management, and we have different contents. Each of them are highly related with software composition analysis, licensing, supply chain trust. And if you click on each of them, you will see a list of available resources and tooling. Some people might not know what is to do. So let's give you a short context. The Tudor Group is an open group of organizations across all industries and regions. Right now, we have currently 70 organizations in the Tudor Group. And the Tudor Group is not a new thing. It was founded in 2012. All our members, all the community, are OSPO experts with years of experience running open source programs across divisions. The Tudor Group has a long journey behind. So at the very beginning, the early stage Tudor, it was very niche community focused on the Bay Area. That is basically where OSPOs is starting to grow, limited to software companies because it's where OSPOs started to appear. And we were pioneers of the OSPO movement. The OSPO professionalism started to grow and it started to be adopted by multiple sectors, not only private and software, but also public institutions and more. And nowadays we are a worldwide community trying to adapt to the new challenges and changes of the new OSPO era. In 2022, we have really exciting new initiatives. We're still discussing with the steering committee, the Tudor steering committee. But overall speaking, the main goal right now is to try to provide a structure and guidance within the OSPO industry. And here is just a quick view of how the Tudor resources are structured in network, education, training, tools, and research. We have the OSPO guide, where we are adding OSPO glossary, so certain terminology that are important. So for instance, everything related with software composition analysis tools, licensing and open source compliance are super important for those people that are willing to set up an OSPO. And having an OSPO glossary where all this terminology is placed and in a single application is super useful. We also try to add there the OSPO responsibilities. So the three OSPO pillars I mentioned. We also have OSPOs in practice. So basically OSPO case studies from different companies. This year, one of the main goals is try to expand this across all industries. And OSPO learning. We also have OSPO guides. As I mentioned, we have the OSPO 101 trading modules. We have a dedicated event for OSPOs, OSPOCon. One is held in Europe and the other one is held in the States. The first one will be in Austin, Texas in June. And the second one will be held in Dublin in September. There is also a To-Do local chapter, the To-Do European chapter. And we try to have monthly meetings in a better time zone from people that are living in Europe. And we usually try to share some resources as well, more focus in companies in Europe building OSPOs. And we also have virtual meetings, virtual community meetings called OSPOlogy. We have a call for paper submissions for those organizations or OSPO professionals that wants to share their topics. I'm sharing with you like the most important resources we have right now, but there is a lot more. And last but not least, I will also like to mention the OSPO accelerators. And if we have some time, we can discuss later in the group chat. So the OSPO accelerators idea are basically initiatives or communities that can help the organization to accelerate your open source initiative or OSPO in different ways. So the same way OSPOs are the open source accelerators, there can be communities that can act as OSPO accelerators. And I'm not just talking about To-Do Group for sure. Of course, there are external initiatives, but also there are in-house initiatives, such as, for instance, what if your organization has also an inner source initiative? And you can take some of the learnings from the inner source team and add it to the OSPO team. And as I said, we also have external initiatives, such as foundations that are neutral players, and also private orgs, consultancy firms specialize in helping companies advance in their OSPO journey. And these OSPO accelerators can be very focused on a specific OSPO stages. For instance, there are communities such as OpenChain, that are more focused in the licensing side, in building open source standards from open source compliance perspective. And that will be more focused for the first stages of an OSPO. There are other communities that are more focused on metrics and measuring community health. So that will be a different OSPO stage. And there are others that tries to provide guidance and education across all the different stages in a more broad way, such as, for instance, the To-Do Group. So as you can see, the OSPO movement is not just about OSPOs and OSPO-focused communities, but a wide range of communities that can collaborate. So in order to build the most comprehensive OSPO infrastructure and network, from the To-Do Group, we created the OSPO Associates that aims to work in collaboration across communities that are helping the OSPO movement. Okay, so that's all for today's talk. I really hope you enjoy this presentation. To end up with a short story about me, I was working at Viterja, and there I spent more than 3 years helping organizations in their inner source and open source metrics journey. Then I moved to the Todo group, and now I'm the OSPO program manager at Todo. I also have a master's degree in data science. My final thesis was about measuring the DevRel impact from open source communities. And I also involved in other open source communities such as Chaos, Todo, of course, Inner Source Commons, DevRel Collective, and DevRel Spain. You can reach out to me through LinkedIn and Twitter. Thank you so much again. See you soon. Bye-bye.